Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. It's so good to have you on our show today. Glad you made some time and effort to be here. Got a very special show for you today. You know, a lot of us today are going through challenges. Well, that might be an understatement for some of you. And for others, you're saying, well, yeah, I do, but I saw them all and I'm good. Well, you know, sometimes we have challenges that hit us and shift us, shift our thinking, shift our consciousness into a completely new level of existence. And this can happen if you have a trauma take place in your life. Sometimes it happens for, we used to call it a midlife crisis. Today, it's more of a shift in consciousness crisis, or even a spiritual crisis that overtakes individuals. And it's probably coming for just about everybody. Unless you're walking around and you're an enlightened person already, I guarantee something's coming to shift you in ways that are not something for you to be afraid of. It's not for you to go into fear. It's not for you to go into worry or close down. It's a place where you actually get to shift who you think you are in some cases, shift what's important to you, and be able to repurpose in ways that maybe you haven't repurposed, and be able to step into a knowing of who you are, what you're about, what your focus is, what you're committed to. And the truth is, you're going to find out why you're here on this planet. So if you have an interest in really stepping up and shifting your consciousness and taking your life to the next level, then this is the show that's going to be very important for you to watch. I have a very special guest today, and I'm going to take a quick break. But when I get back from the break, I'm going to introduce you to her. So stay tuned.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Kendi Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just to return it for a full refund. Are you ready to take charge of your health and well-being? UK Health Radio is your ultimate digital destination for cutting-edge health information and inspiration. At UK Health Radio, we know that good health is not merely the absence of disease, but a state of complete physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Tune in to our wide range of expert-led shows where renowned health professionals share about the latest research, practical tips, and inspiring stories that will motivate you to live your healthiest life. Don't settle for anything less than vibrant health. Tune in to UKHealthRadio.com, the world's number one talk health radio and podcast platform.
We have enough information, just Google it or AI it. What the world needs today is courage and wisdom. The courageous ones have moved us forward. These are the fearless, the ones with determination, the resilient ones. They have grit and rise to meet the challenges and opportunities. They encourage, empower, and enlighten us to all glow up, shift our thinking, and step into our greatness. Yes, these are the ones who have led the way. Now, listen to the courageous ones of today and step into your courage.
Well, welcome back. Everybody, this is your host, Kendi Foster, and I have a very special guest today. Teresa, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Ken. Delighted to be here, honored to be here, and thank you for having me.
Okay. You know, I love your bio. You know, it kind of starts out saying, you know, Teresa Bruno's life reads like a fairy tale in many ways. And for those of you that don't know Teresa, she was the founder and designer for Jordan Alexandra Jewelry. Teresa designed pieces for Oprah, Julia Roberts, Jennifer Hudson, Pink, Michelle Obama, who named her as the favorite, her favorite designer. And she shifted that over the years. And now she's the host of Soul Talks podcast and so much more. But, you know, we're going to talk to you a little bit about the other side of the fairy tale, I think, today, Teresa. Yeah. Because I think people can relate to that. You've done so much, you know, beautiful home, beautiful family, two children, husband, dog, maybe your cat. I don't know, but American dream, right? All the family, Well, let's take a dive in. So, first, welcome, and then let's take a dive into your past story, and then what we're doing today.
And Kim, before we get started, just thank you so much for all the good work that you do in the world, that you put out in the world, and how that you are helping us heal collectively. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. And you know, when some of the compliments me like that, I have to tell you what I usually do is I just give the glory to the maker, you know, because, you know, that's the truth. All right.
That's great.
So, all right. So Teresa, all right, you're living this designer life. You're living everything as everything's going well with you. What's happening? What happened then?
You know, I think it's funny. I didn't write that bio. My PR folks wrote that bio, and I have to laugh because I certainly don't think of my life as a fairy tale. But if you really read fairy tales, you know that they have a positive side, and they often have a negative side. I've had some really high highs in my life, and I've had some low lows. I had a marketing firm that I started very young, and it was a wonderful, you know, kind of solid business, and I had it until just a couple of years ago. But in the middle of that time, I was spending a whole lot of time in LA doing film commercials. And I began just kind of wandering around the jewelry district and wanting to design pieces for myself. And that's where there was definitely a fairy tale in my life. I just was designing pieces for myself. And it's a really funny story. A friend of mine dared me to take my pieces to New York to a showroom that has launched a lot of the famous designers today. And this really delightful woman, Janet Goldman, you know, looked at my little pieces I'd made just for myself and so, darling, you have a made hand. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I did know what it meant. And so she wanted to represent me. And I was a little daunted, you know, by that. I was like, I didn't even really intend to do this as a business. I came to see this woman on a dare. So I felt pretty badly about even being there. And I kind of apologized and said, Janet, I'm so sorry. Thank you that you think my pieces are good, but I'm good. I have a business already. And in the meantime, she connected me to a really hungry PR woman. Her name's Danielle Gotti. She was fresh in the PR business. And she said, Teresa, I just want you to meet me at the New York Times office. I'm doing some interviews there. Just come over and meet me and we'll talk about this. I said, okay. And I was so green about, even though I had a marketing business, I didn't know the PR world at all. I knew more classic marketing. And so I meet Danielle at the New York Times office, and there are these two just amazing young editors there, and they're asking me questions about what I was doing. And I said, yeah, I just had this beautiful grandmother and was inspired, and maybe I was a little bit bored, and I just wanted to learn how to design jewelry, which I did. And so I went home. You know, I just thought, that's the end of that. I'm not doing this. And I think one of the girls called me about a week or so later and said, hey, can we use some of the things you said? You know, can we write about that? And I thought, well, yeah, sure. I thought it'd be on a blog. Right. 2 weeks later, my husband and I are sitting in our kitchen den early on a Sunday morning. And my friend who had dared me to go to New York called, and she was literally screaming in the phone saying, you are on the front page of the Sunday Times style section. And it was not a little bit. It was a quarter page that said, not your grandmother's jewels. Well, I hadn't incorporated the business. I hadn't done anything. Well, within a couple of days, Mrs. Obama's stylist called and said, I love the jewelry that was shown in the New York Times. Can Mrs. Obama wear these pieces to a state dinner in Chile? And I went, oh, sure, I'll be glad to lend them. And the stylist said, oh, if you're not a business, she can't wear the jewelry. She can only borrow from a business and give back. And that was what forced me to incorporate. Well, the domino effect of Mrs. Obama wearing those pieces, fashion bloggers writing about it, it happened so fast. Just within weeks, I had like 50 stores wanting the line, which was hysterical because there was no line. I just said, little pieces I'd make for myself.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So that's where it was a fairy tale. And then, you know, kind of like any business, I didn't know anything about manufacturing or inventory control. It wasn't the kind of business I did. I knew creativity. I knew how to design. And I, you know, that part was easy. Running a business is another thing altogether. I was very, very fortunate because honestly, in the first few years, the PR drove the business. Things like what happened with Mrs. Obama and then getting the covers of lots of major fashion mags and getting to place jewelry on lots of celebrities, that really drove the line and it drove the fact that stores wanted the line. So that's the fairy tale part of it. Where the fairy tale got kind of dark was at the end of about, I think I had been in business 12 years at that point, and I was still running the marketing business. And I say this from a pure spiritual perspective, and I think it's a really important point. I was so busy being the creative nexus for both businesses, I wasn't fully present. You know, I was just running all the time. And I didn't realize what was happening right under my nose financially with my own bookkeeping, which I don't want to talk much more about for legal reasons. But I had to close the jewelry business. There was so much fraud. There was so much debt to be paid back that I couldn't produce new lines. I couldn't stay in these stores and pay off what had happened. And it was something, I have to tell you, as a woman, as an achiever, as somebody who really didn't think much about failure, it rocked my world. I was so ashamed that I hadn't been able to keep that beautiful little business going. I felt such shame and guilt for all the people who'd worked so hard, you know, from stores who had believed in me and worked to sell the line, from the people in my shop who, I mean, tirelessly worked to make that business grow, to, you know, investors who'd invest in it. I came away from that experience. My identity shifted, and not in a good way. So I was trying to recover from that. I was trying to figure myself out and go, because it just rocked me. I hadn't ever really, and I use the word failure. I don't any longer see it as failure. I see it as an opportunity for growth, because there was a lot of growth in it. But it took me a while. And then I think it was right at about 6 or 7 month mark, COVID started in mid-March. And on April 19th, my beloved husband took his life.
So sad to hear that. And so sorry to hear that. And you know that. So what I'm hearing in this, and I got to take a quick break. But what I'm hearing with this story is betrayal.
Sure.
And deep betrayal in the business, and now your husband, and we can talk about that. That's just my comment on that. But
you're absolutely right, and I don't think people think of loss, death, especially suicide. Sometimes they don't see it as a betrayal. I certainly saw it as a betrayal, but then there's a wonderful turn out of that where
we can talk about
the loss.
I guess take a quick break, so we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tenna Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tenna Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
We'll be right back with my guest, Teresa Bruno, and continuing on the story part of her journey. And wow, it's powerful. It's powerful. And what you don't know yet is that there is some shifts that she's going to talk to you about that took place in her life that I believe is really going to relate to who you are. But before we get back to her, I want to say this, that we have this amazing show that goes on, and the show happens because of you, my audience. It's really for you. It is a show that helps you to shift your thinking, shift your motivation, gives you hope, inspiration, optimism, and a lot of good things. But most importantly, helps you to understand, I believe, some of the areas of your life that can truly shift, and you can truly step into your power and your brilliance. If you'd like to see more of the show, I encourage you to go to YouTube and subscribe. Subscribe to the Voices of Courage show. That way you won't miss a message. Also, we do grow by our audience, letting other people know about the show. So I hope you'll do that. All right, back to my guest. Here we go. Teresa Bruno. All right. So we're in the sad this apart, that place where your husband has decided to take his life, and you describe it, you know, as betrayal. I describe it as, you know, as that, and so much more. I mean, we don't want to label it as that, but that
I really don't, because that's just a piece of it. But yes, there were a lot of betrayals piled on betrayals that shook my world.
Yeah,
absolutely shifted it forever.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's your work that you do today is founded on the basis of a very strong foundation. And by the way, a lot of this took place how many years ago?
We're right at the 5-year
mark. 5-year mark. Okay. All right. Good. All right. So
yeah,
you've had a lot of insight, a lot of change, a lot of courage it's taken to get to this part. You know, would you say that you're back to where you were, or more confidence, more poise, more joyful, or where are you now? Where are you now with this?
Those are about 15 questions.
Oh, they probably need to just give me.
Well, I think first what I'd like our audience to know is, you know, you use the word betrayal. Let's talk about it in a bigger you know, kind of a bigger scope, because what I've learned these last 5 years in my own survival journey, and now willing to share that journey in the help of helping others, is that every single person in this world is going through some kind of suffering. You know, whether it's a loss of a husband, a child, a parent, it's a divorce, it's a loss of a business. You know, if your identity is challenged, you've lost your confidence. everybody is suffering and going through something. For me, there was such deep grief and sorrow at first, and I don't want to run past it. Everybody does want to run past it, figuratively and literally. But I want to acknowledge that if you are going through something, you are in grief, you are in sorrow, and you have to do what you have to do to sit in it. The question I get asked the most often is, when is this going to end? You know, when is this pain going to go away? When does my grief go away? And one of my big learning lessons is that grief doesn't go away. What I've learned is that you learn to live alongside grief. You learn to eat with it and sleep with it and, you know, walk alongside it. You learn to manage it. And so the managing, and that I think is what you're asking me, Ken, the managing came in baby steps. And there were a lot of things I learned along the way. Two really important things, I guess I would say to our listeners is, it is so important to have connection to family, to friends who are alongside you, who can be truthful with you, who can hold you up when you can't hold yourself up. Because one of the primary survival tools I learned is that sharing your pain, and this is a wonderful phrase I learned from a friend, sharing your pain lessens its power. You know, my husband James died just a month into COVID, and so I did all the wrong things in terms of getting out of grief and sorrow. I isolated. I was holding on to my shame. I sat in isolation. I sat in judgment. And those are all the things that keep you there. But the whole world was isolating. You know, what I was doing didn't seem all that unusual. And any other time, it would have been a lot easier, I think, to connect to family and friends. But share your pain if you can. And then, you know, sharing your pain means finding those you can trust. And I have to say, building, I call it, and I stole this basically from a story that Michelle Obama told Oprah when Oprah interviewed her at the end of her last book tour. But she talked about when she was going through just so much social attack, going into the White House with the first time that they were elected, and building what she called her kitchen table. I call mine my kitchen cabinet, but it's my kitchen cabinet of friends that I put together over the last 5 years. And I mean, those people have championed me. They have journeyed beside me. They have gotten me through this, and they have helped me walk out of my shame. When you stay in shame, you can't grow. So sharing your pain, having connection, friends, family who champion you, who walk beside you, those are two really important points that I think everybody probably.
Hector, I think they're very important points. And I think, you know, at one point in San Diego, I was interviewing a lady that was in the working with people that had just recently become homeless or were on the verge of being homeless. And I asked her, I said, what causes most people? I'm a person that wants to get to the cause. So I asked her, what's the cause of most people being homeless, you know? And I thought she'd probably say what most people say. Well, it's drug and alcohol, mental issues. She said, you know, those play a part. But she said the number one reason is that they've lost their connections to their family, to their friends, to their society, to, of course, themselves, their churches. They don't have it anymore. So what you're saying is just, it's a formula for success. No matter what we're going through. Well, let me ask you, because you had family and friends and everything around you before this, but did you shift family and friends? And you didn't shift family, but did you shift friends? Did you grow? What happened there? Or, you know, the same ones? What'd you do there? Because I think some people ask that. Well, you know, this friend's not very supportive. I can't really talk to these people about what I'm going through. You know, there's that issue.
Yes, absolutely. Well, first of all, I lived in a community where I had no family. My family was states away. So and it was COVID. So it's a lot harder. You know, people are coming over to your house to sit with you when you're crying your eyes out. I mean, it just wasn't happening. The other thing that happened to me, and it's something I've done a lot of work on, and that work is what I like to call radical compassion. But I wasn't sitting in a place of self-compassion. I think it's the universal question that we as survivors of suicide ask, why and what could I have done to keep him here? You know, what did I not do? What didn't I see? What I thought he was just sad. I didn't know he was in this state of depression, you know. So for months, I sat sort of in that cycle. It was a toxic cycle of asking those kinds of questions. And in that process, there are people who have the depth and the ability to listen to that kind of pain, and there are people who don't. You know, I often talk about a friend. We were friends before. She was actually a cousin of James, and she adored him. But the day that he committed suicide and she found out, every single day, we're 5 years in, every single day, she has not missed a day texting me. And some days, her name's Marie Wright, and some days I would think, oh, not text me. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want you to ask me how I am because I'm terrible. But the consistency of that kind of friendship sort of lays down this new fabric underneath you that feels stable, because the ground is anything but stable in those early days. There is no ground. And so I started really looking at, and I think you feel it. You feel it integrally. You feel someone who aligns with you spiritually. And so I began to just be with those people whom I felt were truthful with me, would tell me where I needed, you know, to get up and wash my face and feed myself, because some days you can't even do that. But I just built this group of friends, and some of them were friends I'd had for a long time, 20, 30 year friends, and some of them are new friends. But they have become my champions.
Well, listen, I got to take a break. And when I get back, I want to talk about a little bit more about going from tragedy to hope. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, hello, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. We're talking about the courage to repurpose grief to hope with Teresa Bruno. Teresa?
Thank you.
It's such a big subject, and we don't have a lot of time here. I want to know, what are the steps in your mind from going from that dark place? I know you're talking about several of them, right? Getting help. You know, supporting yourself with the people. What are some of the other steps that people need to take to be able to get to the next level back in that place of hope?
You know, I talk, it's kind of a midway point. It's one of your topics. One of the primary things that has helped me so much is taking all the fear that overwhelmed me. My grief manifested as fear. I was a confident person before these things happened to me. And then grief made me afraid to do even the smallest of things, which sounds absurd. But what I learned is that courage is a muscle. And if I could get up in the morning and maybe all I could do was open the drapes and have the courage to get up and make my coffee. And in that courage also, there's a connector, and that's gratitude. I was not grateful that my husband was gone. There was nothing grateful about that, but I shifted it to, I became so grateful for his life. I became so grateful for what he gave me and my children. So that gratitude, you know, it flips the script for you. It completely shifts all the negative things you're thinking about and talking about inside yourself. And you start to build that muscle of courage. Okay, today I can make healthy food to eat. Okay, next day I can take a walk. Okay, I'm going to text one person today. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to have connection in some way today. So transforming that fear into courage became, you know, just a very empowering piece of my walk and my journey. Gratitude is one of the absolute pillars of my life. I feel like it can absolutely help you shift out of any negative thing that you're in. I also come from a background of, you know, I guess everybody's religious background is messy. Mine is, I grew up in a Christian home with all kinds of crazy beliefs, but I have a really strong belief system. I have always, from the time I was a very young child, been, prayer was easy. Yes, I questioned God all over the place when this happened, but I still prayed. And people have said, well, didn't you hate God? Weren't you angry at God? Or didn't you even doubt his existence? And it's the craziest thing to say. I would sit there and I would mourn and I would cry, and somehow I felt the presence of God the strongest in my life. So I reached for my spiritual beliefs. I reached for prayer. I reached for friends. And all of that, it's a long time coming. But when you asked me a couple of questions ago, where are you now? Where I am now is that I feel like I've been given the most transforming miracle of my life in finding hope after incredible tragedy, finding purpose, finding my voice to start this podcast to hopefully help other people who are in deep tragedy, deep loss. That's been a miraculous holy shift.
Holy shift.
In my life.
Holy shift. I love that.
Don't say that the wrong way. It won't come out right.
I never thought about that, but that's good. I have a question too.
In hindsight, your husband, are there signs that people can look for? You know, in hindsight, you may have seen some things, and maybe not. I don't know. But are there certain signs that people should maybe look for, you know, prior to somebody, you know, taking their own life, you know, if they're in depression? I mean, the signs are probably subtle for some people, and it's hard to see.
It is. And I'll answer that in two ways, because I think it's important. James had been in what we thought was a fairly low-level depression for about a year. We had started therapy about a year before. I thought we were doing great. There were probably some shifts in the 2 weeks prior. I noticed he was much more anxious. I noticed some of his patterns were different. But remember, we were 4 weeks into COVID, and the whole world was in all this fear and anxiety and isolating, and my business had shifted to Zoom. And I mean, it was hard to see what was going on with him. So that's one. So there are signs. I think they're subtle. I'd been working with an extremely gifted therapist with James for that year. And she said to me something that was so helpful to me afterwards. She said, you know, Teresa, I worked with James, and I am a very experienced therapist, and I didn't see it. I never thought that he had it in him to do this. She said he lived his life very cordoned off. He cordoned off the parts that were his childhood wounds, his extraordinary pain, to the point that he could live that other life and you couldn't see it. And so
I think it helps a lot of people. I can just say when I woke up, you know, back in 1992, my life was extremely, I'll just say it this way. I had friends that were, I would say my low life friends over here. I'd have my business friends over here. I'd have my family over here. And none of them knew who I was. Of course, I didn't really know who I was either. But everything was sectioned off. I kept a lot of different sections and nobody knew the other parts of me, right? It was a completely segregated life in my understanding, my beliefs, who I hung out with, who I was, what I was. Fortunately, I never got to a place where I felt depressed or taking my own life. But I think that a lot of people live their life that way and they're not fully integrated. They don't know how to integrate all the areas of their life to be authentic, to be who they really are, right?
I think it's part of all of our life's journey to do exactly that, to find our authentic self. I do think James was definitely living. I mean, we thought he was the best husband and father in the world. He was the best friend. He was just one of the nicest people I've ever known. But he had lived a very segregated life that wasn't integrated.
It's like you live a million different pieces and they're not all connected. And unfortunately, a lot of people, we've talked to on the show, I'm not saying this is James, but, people self-medicate themselves through, people read books and that's their medication. People overeat. Some people use drugs or alcohol. Some people shop. Some people just go through sex like crazy. There's a lot of ways people try to fix to make themselves feel whole. And of course, those ways are all temporary ways. They don't work for very long. And eventually we have to find ourselves.
Yeah. The other thing I would say too, Ken, I think it's so important for people to hear it. I think so much of our culture today does not affirm us as living in the world as worthy, as being enough. We never feel like we're enough in our even social media. And listen, I'm on it. I don't know how to do a business without being on social media, but it's a false world that is constantly one of comparison. And I think if our listeners hear this and they have feelings of, I'm just not worthy. I just can't make it. I don't deserve a good life. I'm just not enough. If they can just pause for a minute, and ask for spiritual guidance and realize you absolutely are enough. Have compassion for yourself as opposed to judgment for yourself. Have compassion for the people around you instead of judgment. And you'll see shifts in your life. You'll see a kindness, a benevolence begin to work around between you and others. But it's just so important to sit with yourself.
By the way, we just put up on the screen. You can get a hold of Teresa at Soul Talks with Teresa. Soul Talks with Teresa. And I hope you check that out. SoulTalksWithTeresa.com. Okay, go check her out for my listening audience. I got to take a quick break. And when we come back, some more thoughts about how we can go from grief to hope. All right, we'll break.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Imagine, this is your money, and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money, and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash, and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Hi everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm talking with Teresa Bruno. And, you know, we were just talking about those feelings of feeling less than or more than, okay? But those feelings of come when you're starting to compare yourself with others who are better than you, less than you, you know, greater than you, you know. And you know, if nobody gets anything else out of this show, I know you got a lot out, but if you don't get anything else, focus on that piece for yourself this week. And, you know, the goal is not to feel less than or more than. The goal is just to be yourself, to be equal to. So set the intention to be equal to everybody, all right? We all put our underwear on the same way.
Just saying,
you know. There's just a lot going on in the world today. And but one of the things I love about you, Teresa, is your resilience and your courage to continue to persist no matter what, to step into that power. And now you're writing a book. We're going to be talking about your book here next time you're on the show. Yeah. You're moving into a place, a new season in your life where you're just supporting so many people to grow, to become the best version of themselves. What do you actively do yourself today to transform, to continue your growth?
Thank you. That's a really good question. You know, as I said earlier, I'd always been a person who was prayerful, and I had always been a spiritual seeker and, you know, reading lots of materials from all kinds of aspects, belief, you know, systems. I had practiced meditation and stillness somewhat. But one of the, I would like to speak several things here. One is I learned that I needed to spend time in absolute stillness and call on spirit to talk to me. I learned that spirit, Holy Spirit, universe, whatever you want to call it, whispers. I have a friend, Lisa Zimmer, and she says, spirit whispers. And she's absolutely right. And so I learned to sit in stillness. I learned some really good meditative tools, some guided meditations, spent a lot of time in prayer. And I do those things every single day. You know, I get up in the morning, I set intentions. I do have a meditation practice that I try to do every single day, whether I, you know, wherever I am in the world. But there's another piece I'd like to speak to that I think is incredibly healing. And it was kind of a new discovery for me in a way. I was working with a spiritual teacher after James died, and there was a period in there where I'm telling you, I was paralyzed physically and I could not stop crying. You know, you could give me any tool you wanted to throw at me to try to make it work, but it wasn't working. I just sobbed and I cried and I sobbed and I cried. And she said to me one day, she actually yelled it. She said, Teresa, you have got to get outside and get your feet on the ground. I had always been a person who loved to be outside. I love to hike. I've always been drawn to the beauty of nature. And James and I had hiked almost every day the month before he died. I didn't want to go back outside and hike because it made me think of everything about him. But I found a place we had never gone before. And I literally got outside in nature. Every time I cried, I ran to that trail. And I would stand in this one stream and I would just say, please take it. Just take the pain and wash it back into the earth. And I learned something really valuable about nature, that even though I just love the beauty of all of it, but I didn't realize nature also can bear our pain. Get outside, feel the wind, feel the trees, feel the sun on your face. You will be shocked at how much healing you feel there.
Well, there's a lot of science behind that right now. And, you know, there's a whole movement around grounding today. And out in, you know, putting your feet, you know, on dirt, on grass, you know, on water.
Right.
And having those chemicals start to be released, the endorphins, the oxytocin into your own system as you start to show up in a higher vibration. When we start to lower our vibration, what happens is the invisible field around us, which you can't see, touch, face, or feel right now. We don't have really instruments to measure it, other than maybe kinesiology, the science of kinesiology. But you know, it goes out, you know, several feet. Right. But when you are down and your energy levels are down, that vibrational, that energy starts to be non-accessible to you. You're really living in this physical form more and more. So it's just science about it. That's my whole point. Sorry to get into that, but there is about what she's saying. If you want to find out more about the science, either AI, the science grounding, or Google it either way, and you'll find a lot. So I'm out of time. I can't believe it went like this. So yeah. I really appreciate you. I appreciate what you're about. I love your story. And I'm so sorry you had to go through the tragedies that you got through to get where you are. But yeah, I guess, you know, it's always cause and effect. So I've got a feeling you're...
I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be here today. And thank you so much for having me. Again, Kit, you do beautiful work in the world.
Thank you so much for that, Teresa. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today. You know, as we end the show today, I hope you will go to what Teresa said, go into gratitude, think about the gratitude that you have for your own life. And as you do, set the intention to see the unseeable, to know the unknowable, and then do the impossible.